All right, 1 Samuel chapter 16, if we'll look at verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? Boy, that must have been quite a town. They were worried when the prophet of God showed up. You know, they were a little bit concerned. And he said peaceably, I'm come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Wonderful verse of scripture, but often used to teach heresy. Really is, all right? Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. And he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. David's one of the greatest personalities in all the Bible, all right? On the surface, as a first impression, if you will, no one would have guessed it would be possible. I mean, just first impression out of him, you just got another guy. But what a varied career he had. You ever stop and think about it? He was a shepherd, but he was a king. He was a poet, and he was a soldier. He was a champion of his people, but he spent a long time as an outlaw, running and hiding in caves. He was loved by Jonathan, but he was hated by Saul. Boy, he had a varied career. But you say, well, what are we looking at tonight? Here's what I want you to see. I want you to look and see with me some knots that made him what he was. Some knots that made him what he was. If you will, knots that are necessary for success. Now, I'm not talking about K-N-O-T-S, all right? I'm not saying he had knots on his arm or on his head or something like that. But it was some N-O-T-S, some knots, all right? Number one, I want you to see this. He was not important to some. He was not important to some. Samuel told Jesse, I want you to bring all your sons. We're going to pass. God's going to choose the next king out of your sons. So Jesse lined them all up and had them there. But even he didn't think enough of David to have him come. He didn't even bring him. Didn't consider him important enough to bring him to the sacrifice. You know, sometimes people think, well, I'm not very important. I'm just another statistic, you know. I'm just another one of multiple millions of people that populate the world, and I'm not really anything. I'm not the most talented soul in the world. I'm just here, and nobody thinks I'm very important. Hey, I want you to know this. It's not necessary for everybody to think you're important for you to be successful. It's just not necessary for you to be considered that. You need to remember this, all right? Now, when I say this, you may not get encouraged. But the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27 that God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. The foolish things of this world. I mean, there's things in the world, brother. Dunbar talking about COVID and everything. If you listen to all the things that are said, I mean, it'll confuse you to no end, you know. You've got One person, they changed their story multiple times down through the months, and you don't really know what to believe. And you got medical people saying, do this, and you got other medical people saying, don't do what he just said. And I mean, you know, it's confusing, and you wonder about it, but you know what? There's just some things in this old world medical science can't get figured out. There's just some things, but God uses foolish things. God uses foolish things, all right? They aren't usually considered important by most people. They're not considered to be important. They're just foolish. Foolish. But I want to tell you something. Some of those foolish things can do amazing, amazing things for God. If you'll just realize this, it is not important for you to be important to everybody for you to be a success. You just don't have to be. Say, well, nobody noticed me. That's okay. That's all right. Really, I mean, like I say, David was just an insignificant fellow there, all right? Just an insignificant fellow, even in his own family. I remind you, Joseph was not the favorite member of his family. His brothers didn't like him. And for a long time, he was the youngest one. I know what it is to be the baby of the family and to be picked on unmercifully, be mistreated. Okay, I was kidding. All right, but, you know, we like to give all these things and say, well, I'm just not important. You don't have to be important. You don't have to be important to be a success. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not talking about being a success in the world's eyes. It doesn't bother me if you die worth $10 million or die worth $10. It doesn't make any difference. I'm not talking about a success in what the world views as success. When I was in high school, a senior in high school, they voted. You know, you remember those times, those of you who maybe went to high school where they voted on most talented and most athletic. Well, of course, I won all of them. No, I didn't win any of those awards. But they did vote me most likely to succeed. Most likely to succeed. 50 years ago this month, I was planning to go into my senior year in high school. And I've often thought, I wonder of how many of those kids that I went to school with would think, well, you were successful. But can I say this to you? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they think I was successful. Hey, the thing is, does God think you're successful? There's some knots you need to consider. Don't worry about it if you're not important to some, all right? Look at verse number 7, all right? Verse number 7, the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. I want you to realize this. I don't believe David was imposing to see. When you saw David, you didn't say, there's a king if I've ever seen one. No, didn't come up that way. To be honest with you, Saul would have filled that bill. Big guy, you know, head and shoulders above all the rest of the people. You would say, that man, that boy, he looks like he'd make a king, you know. He'd make a king. David wasn't that way. He was just a youth at this time. Down in verse 12 says he was ruddy. Now, you know, he was goodly to look at. He wasn't ugly. But, I mean, you wouldn't have looked at him and thought, there's the next king. I mean, it's just not that way. He wasn't imposing to see. It's to the extent that Samuel was convinced it would have been one of his brothers. Samuel looked at his brothers and thought, yeah, this is the one. He looked at oldest brother and said, this is bound to be the one. God said, nope, not him. That's not the one. There wasn't a man. He just wasn't imposing to look at. I'm convinced today that our world is overly impressed with looks. With looks. Many things look good. Many people look good. But they have no substance. There's just nothing there, all right? There's an old saying that it's better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open it and remove all doubt. Now, I've seen people in life, you thought, well, it's a pretty intelligent looking person, until they open their mouth. Until they open their mouth. Hey, the world's just filled with the idea you need to look good, look good, look good. How many people just, you know, you think about this. When you watch the news, news commentators and news people, have you noticed that you don't see too many news? When's the last time you saw a news individual with a wart? Anybody? No, that wouldn't fill the bill, right? There's this idea, you've got to look like this. You have to look like this. You have to meet this requirement, all right? You have to look this way. They want you to look good. Hey, can I tell you, you may not be the world's most handsome fellow, guys. Ladies, the world may not look at you and think, wow, what an absolute beauty. What a beauty. Fine, that's all right. That's okay. I look in the mirror sometimes and I think, Lord, you could have done better. You could have done better. You know? But, hey, it's you are what you are. God made you the way you look. It's okay to put a little effort into fixing yourself up, try to look a little better, and go to that. Yep, fine with that. But look, don't go through life thinking, well, I just don't have the looks to be successful. I just don't have the looks to be successful. Have you seen Bill Gates lately? I mean, you know, I'm not insulting Bill Gates. Don't misunderstand you. To me, just an average-looking fella. Just an average-looking fella. But he made a success. He made a success. Man, I could go down the line and talk to you about Sunday school teachers and preachers. There was nothing about them that would have drawn their attention to them because of their looks, but they were successful for God. Amen. Successful. Hey, it's not those, you may not be imposing to see, that's all right. David was still successful, all right? But there's something else I want you to think about with me, all right? Verse 13, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Then notice, so Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Do you ever look in the scriptures and see what's not there? Just think about what's not in that verse. It's not in the next verse or the next. It's not in the rest of the chapter. You say, what's not there? Won't you see it? David was not impatient to speak. To speak. In our day, we get somebody that gets a new position, a big position. Hey, king's pretty big, don't you think? Pretty good position. But there's no recorded reaction from David. There's no recorded reaction. The Bible doesn't say he clicked up his, you know, jumped and clicked his heels together and said, whoopee, I'm the next king. He didn't say anything. As far as we know, there's nothing, all right? And if he'd be like anybody in our day, can you just imagine? I mean, as soon as he was anointed king, it would be, thank you for this honor. Now my first, thing I would like to start is, because that's the way people do today. Right away they think, well, I'm in charge. I'm the king. Hey, I've been anointed. I've got the job. I've been elected. I can change the world. That's the way the world looks at things, all right? Just as soon as you give me that position, as soon as I have that power. Oh, but what a blessing. There's not anything recorded about what David wasn't impatient to speak. David wasn't impatient to speak. You know, I'm reminded of a Bible verse. Let patience have her perfect work. Let patience have her perfect work. David was anointed king. Do you think he was ready? Hey, you read through the scriptures. Who was it? Somebody correct me. I'm just going off the top of my head. Wasn't it Josiah that was made king at 8 years old? Wasn't it Josiah? Any of you Bible scholars with me there? Okay. Somebody's nodding your head. Some of you are saying, I ain't risking my leg. I'm not saying anything. All right. I think it's Josiah, 8 years old. He went to the throne at 8 years old. Now, you know, do you think an 8-year-old boy is ready to be king? Well, no. Down through history, there have been other people that have been placed on the throne as children. Now, usually a regent or somebody else ruled in their stead until they got old enough. I believe with all my heart, I don't believe David's ready to be king when he was anointed right here. I don't believe he was ready to take command. But God knew it, and the good thing about it, so did David. Hey, he wasn't impatient to speak. Why? Because he wasn't impressed with himself. He was not impressed with himself. Look at verse 18 here in 1 Samuel, all right? Then answered one of the servants. Now, here's what's going on in this. I didn't take time to read all through this to you. Verse 14 says, the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. An evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. So they began to look for somebody that could play an instrument that would help Saul and, you know, calm his nerves and be able to get him to operate. And that's what to say in verse 17, provide now a man that can play well, bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man and a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the what? Sheep. Wait a minute. Just a few days there, he is anointed king. So where is he now? Out there with the sheep. Out there with the sheep. Why? Because he wasn't impressed with himself. He wasn't impressed with himself. David's out there taking care of the sheep. They brought him in from taking care of the sheep, anointed him king. He said, thanks, see ya. Got to take care of my sheep. All right? He wasn't impressed with himself. Oh, what a wonderful thing. You know, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Lowliness of mind. Oh, man, easiest thing in the world when you get a promotion is to begin to think you're somebody. Woohoo! It's me. I am the man. I'm the one. Never been anybody like me. Be like Muhammad Ali. I'm the greatest. Hey, listen. David wasn't impressed with himself. He wasn't impressed with himself. If he had any ego, it's very little. It's not what drove him. Not what drove him. Boy, can I tell you this? It's so much better when you and I don't get to thinking too much of who we are. All right? We don't get to thinking. And that way, if somebody offends you, you don't go, but do you know who you're talking to? You know, it's okay. It's all right. It is all right. Hey, there wasn't any pride to hold him back, to make him think, toot his own horn, and get out there and lead the charge. Here he is, the man anointed to be king, and he's out doing one of the lowliest jobs in the world, just taking care of sheep. Taking care of sheep. Oh, how good it is when you and I don't get impressed with ourselves. All right? Don't get impressed with ourselves. People brag on you. That's good. I'm not against that. I'm in favor of complimenting people. That's a good thing. Brother Dunbar said, how come you never compliment me? I don't want you to get a big head, brother. But I try occasionally to do it. I'm not against people, you know, complimenting other folks, and not at all. But don't get too impressed with yourself, all right? I've always said that God has a wonderful way of keeping me humble. I don't know if he operates on you like that, but he does on me. Many times where it could have been a situation where I could have thought, yeah, God says, yeah, I'll take care of that. Before it ever comes up, you know, before it ever comes up. I remember the very first time I was going to play an offertory on the piano. Now, there's a possibility my wife was there that night. And I don't know if she remembers it. I was just a teenager, okay? And there was a song I had memorized. I had played it I don't know how many times. And I wasn't the guy saying, let me play the offertory, let me play. But they said, play the offertory. Okay. So they prayed, the ushers started ushing, and I went into the introduction of that song. It was a real good introduction. It was so good I played it again. And I liked it so much I played it the third time. Said, why? Because I couldn't remember what came after the introduction. Said, I mean, it was gone, all right? I played that introduction three times, said, enjoyed that. I didn't say anything, you know, but I wanted to say, hope you enjoyed that. Are y'all through taking the offering yet? And I went and sat down. That was all I could remember. The Lord said, you be calm there, fellow. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. I made some dreadful mistakes, you know. Tonight, leading singing, did you notice on the verse where in the middle of the verse I had no idea what the next words were? And I sang, and then I got with you, all right? I don't know what it was. You say, what? See, the Lord keeps me humble. That's a good thing. Because you don't ever need to get to the point in life where you're impressed with yourself. Just don't do it. You want to be successful. Don't get impressed with yourself. Don't make God have to keep you humble. You said, does God have to? I don't know, but He does, all right? He does. And I've got many other stories I can tell you of how things God just said, we'll take care of that. We'll take care of that. Hey, but there's something else I want you to see. I want you to think right there of where we read in verse 18 and 19. They sent for David. They sent for David. They knew he was a cunning player on a harp. They sent to for him, and they said, we want you to do it. And they sent that word in verse 20. Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David and his son unto David. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Here's David. Wait a minute. Whoa, you got it? This is the fellow who's been anointed for next king. But he's not immune to serving. He's not immune to serving. They said, we need you to play for the king. No, that's a little beneath my dignity. Thank you. I am the king to be. He didn't say that. He said, okay. He came and served Saul. The Bible said he came to love him dearly, became his armor bearer. He served after being anointed king. He served. He served. Would you take your Bible? Don't lose your place here. We'll come back. But I want you to go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. That's in the New Testament, all right? Philippians chapter 2, if you will. Boy, some wonderful verses. Philippians chapter 2. Would you look there in verse 5? If you got an old Scofield Bible, it's on page 1258. Sure, all right? Page 1258. I want you to look there, Philippians chapter 2. Would you look at verse 5 with me? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Hey, did you hear that? Took upon him the form of a servant. Became a servant. That's the Lord. That's the King of glory. That's the King of kings, all right? That's him. That's who we're talking about. The Creator took upon himself the form of a servant. The servant. That's what he did. Hey, look, you want to be successful, then you make sure you're not immune to serving. You make sure you're not immune to serving. Don't think, well, it's beneath me. I can't do that anymore. I have a position to maintain. No, you're a servant. That's what you're to be. Remember what the Lord told people? He said, if you want to be great, then learn to be a servant. Learn to be a servant. Learn to serve. There's not anything greater for people to do than to do that. Than to do that. Just be a servant, willing to do whatever. No job too menial. No task too insignificant. That's not beneath my dignity. I'll do whatever it is. Hey, in the house of God, whatever's needed. If you need somebody to run a rag over the pews, I'll run a rag over the pews, all right? That's not beneath my position. If you need somebody to plunge the toilet, I happen to be an authority. I am an engineer on the end of a plunger, all right? I know how to do it. Yeah, it's not beneath me. It shouldn't be beneath you or me, either one, all right? I mean, it's there. Be a servant. Be a servant. You want to be a success, then don't be immune to serving. back now in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Look again now at verse 13. Boy, this is the last point. I have no idea how long we'll be on this point, so don't get excited, all right? But then Samuel took the horn of oil, that's 1 Samuel 16:13, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Oh, listen, you want to be successful, then you ought not to be impervious to the Spirit of God. Oh my, how we need that. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. By my Spirit. It's that. Back in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Should have told you when you were there in Philippians, you were close, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here's the Apostle Paul. You said, why was he successful? Well, because he was a brilliant man. Just a brilliant man. Learned man. Taught by Gamaliel. One of the great teachers. Now, here's what Paul said. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hey, that's what we need, folks. That's what we need. You want success? You say, what do we need? We need the power of God. We need the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We need God's power on our lives. That's available. You said, I'm not a preacher. Where'd you get the idea it's only available for preachers? Where'd you get that? Well, I'm not a missionary. Where'd you get the idea it's only available for missionaries? Yeah, but preacher, now you don't understand. Remember, I don't even teach Sunday school. Where'd you get that idea? Hey, I'm going to tell you, the Spirit of God and the power of God is available for every child of God. Now, not so you can go around and hit people on the forehead and they'll fall down slain in the Spirit. All right? That's not it, all right? That's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it is so God can use you to do His work. God can take that fella or that gal that's not imposing to see, that's not considered to be important by other people. But the power of God can make that individual a success. A success. You remember Joe Hawkins? Remember Joe Hawkins? Joe Hawkins came, he was in our church many times. Many times. You looked at Brother Hawkins, you never thought, now there is an outstanding person. You can tell it by looking. But God used him. God used him. Why? The power of God. The power of God was on that fellow. Not imposing to look at. He would tell you right off he had no great talents, no great abilities. He was not the one that the world would have picked. He's the best one at winning friends and influencing people. No. He was just the one that said, yes, Lord, when God called him. And he allowed God to fill him with his Spirit and his power, and God used him in a wonderful, mighty way. Today, you can go to Brazil and go up the Rio Negro, and all along that river, there are churches there established and planted by Joe Hawkins. If you can go up the Amazon, way up the Amazon, past the rapids and way up there, you can find a place there. There's the Indian Bible Institute sitting there that he started under the power of God. And if you took the time and you had the time and you had a guide, because you'd have to have a guide to find them. It's not just one Bible Institute. It's about five Indian Bible Institutes. Why? Because one person said, Lord, I'm going to let you fill me and use me. Use me. One person said, you can do that. Hey, I'm just telling you, all right? If you'll let the Holy Spirit of God, you'll not be impervious to the Spirit of God. You can be successful. You can be successful. And what's not there for your success, all right? You say, well, I'm not important. Okay, we've already seen that doesn't matter. And if you're not important, put down one mark. You're headed in the right direction. You're okay, all right? You said, well, you know, I don't have a real imposing appearance. Put another mark. That's two. You're doing good so far, all right? You're doing good. You say, well, I'm just not very outspoken. Oh, good. There's another mark, all right? There's another mark. You just keep on putting them there, you know. Here we go, you know. I'm kind of shy. I'm kind of retiring. Okay, good. You're not overly impressed with yourself. Put that fourth mark up there, would you? All right? Just add it, all right? Say, well, you know, I just kind of consider myself a servant. Lay that fifth slash across there. You're getting there, all right? You can be successful. Now, if you'll just let the Holy Spirit of God fill you and use you, you'll empty yourself of self. You might be amazed at what God could do with you. You might be amazed. Well, I'm just a clerk in a store. There's a fellow by the name of Kimball that was a clerk in a shoe store. But he let God use him. He let God use him, and he won D.L. Moody to the Lord because he was just dedicated. Just dedicated. And hey, we go on. There's just a lady, Daisy Halls. Now, I know Brother Oftedal knows who she is, and there may be a few others. The world today doesn't think much of her, but she was a Sunday school teacher that loved the little boy that came in, and she kept giving that class the gospel, and it was in that class that Lee Robertson got saved. Why? Because somebody was willing to let God use them. Let God use them. Be a success. Be a success. Let God use you, would you? Would you bow your heads tonight, every head bowed and every eye closed? I just want to ask you tonight, you know, say, preacher, I don't think I'm very successful. Forget about what you think. What's God think? What does God think about you? Would he say, yep, you've been successful? You're willing to let God use you. World doesn't think anything of you, but God knows who you are. God knows who you are. Are you doing that work that God put you here to do? And have you surrendered to him? Do you allow the Holy Spirit of God to fill you and use you? Do you do that? Listen, maybe if God just dealt with you a little bit tonight, we're going to have the pianist play in just a moment. And there's going to be an opportunity for you to come. Kneel here at the altar, sit at one of these front pews. Would you let God have you? Hey, he can have the same thing of you that D.L. Moody gave him of himself. He gave all that he had. That's what you need. Just give all you've got. Let God make you a success. But hey, you could maybe you're the Mr. Kimball that's going to reach the next D.L. Moody. Maybe you're the Daisy Halls that's going to teach the next Lee Roberts. I don't know. But would you let yourself be successful? Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Help us to see it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. And Lord, it is only through the Spirit of God that we can successfully do what you have for us to do. Lord, would you help us to surrender ourselves, our will, and our all to you? Forget what the world thinks. And just allow you to use us. In Jesus' name I pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask Ms. Noble to begin to play. Hey, listen, if you need to come, the altar's open. Would you come? Just come. Amen. That's good. Just come. Let God use you. If you know those words, would you just sing it with me tonight? Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Brother Dunbar, would you dismiss us tonight?